All right, and now it's over to Andrew Davies from the ABHI. Welcome, Andrew.
Hi, Chris. Good to be here.
So I expect it's fair to say that you have your finger on the pulse of industry. So how do you think the health tech industry feels about the current approaches used by NICE to evaluate digital health technologies in particular?
Yeah, I think to perhaps put that in the context to start with. So digital health is a subset of health technology broadly. And all the programs within NICE that deal with health technology can be applied also to digital health technologies, be that the medical technology evaluation program or the diagnostic program. So I think how we feel about it from a digital health perspective, particularly, I think is shaped by that wider environment. So I think there's a lot of things that NICE bring to the table. The clarity is that there's very clear criteria put out by NICE, so you know how you're going to be assessed, what the program is, what the methodology is. So it's really good. So you can plan up front for it. So that's one thing. Standardization is another thing. And particularly in the digital health space, we have the evidence standards framework. So again, you have that clarity, you have that standardization of what evidence is going to be acceptable, what they're looking for, and tiered depending on your type of technology. As well as that, you have the overarching, it's a recommendation. Well, hopefully it's a recommendation from NICE, and that has obviously credibility within England and the wider UK, but also into other jurisdictions as well. I think the other key thing is we're seeing increasing alignment between what NICE is doing and what the NHS and MHRA are doing. So, NICE is part of this continuum from so regulatory approval through health technology assessment and into commissioning, funding, etc. And we're seeing a stronger link across that. So that's all the sort of positives I think we see within the NICE programs. On the downside, I think we are therefore seeing digital technologies perhaps shoehorned into programs that weren't designed necessarily for digital technologies. And I might as well say it now, and for artificial intelligence, we're not going to get far in this conversation without saying that, but that's perhaps a wormhole we could disappear down for quite some time. So I won't go into that too specifically. So yeah, there's that lack of adaptation to digital health technologies. The data requirements that are perhaps can be fulfilled by traditional health technologies, somewhat harder to fill for some digital health tech. And also the timescales of traditional NICE processes as well. Even with traditional health tech, we would see NICE evaluate a product before that evaluation was done and published, version two is out. Now you look at the shorter iteration times of software-based devices, and how do you keep up with that? And lastly, the big one for health tech really is the NICE recommendation doesn't lead to reimbursement and funding directly. It's a signal to the system, but there's no direct linkage. So yeah, that's kind of looking at where we are today with current NICE programs, or I say today until recent times, but the early value access program starts to change the environment there somewhat.
Thank you. That's a really helpful overview. There's a few things that I'm going to pick up on there, but there's an interesting kind of conflict that you just alluded to. There's the value in the standardization that NICE's processes provide, but then there's also multiple pathways which might be quite difficult to navigate. So broadly speaking, there's the potential for kind of more standardization or more alignment or perhaps more bespoke pathways. Thinking about that kind of that trade-off, How do you see things developing over the next 5 to 10 years, or how would you like to see those processes be rationalized or made more appropriate to specific groups of technologies?
Yeah, so you talk about multiple pathways, and one of the questions I get asked a fair bit, you know, is it worth me putting forward my product for a NICE evaluation? Now, that's not often a question I can answer directly because I don't know the business model of the companies, their cost base, etc. But you know, it's not to go through the MTEP program is not cheap and it's not quick. Do you do that, or do you invest in some PR or some more sales effort or whatever? So you know, NICE is just one route into the market. We are seeing that change, however, again with the EVA program. You know, it used to be about notifying your product to NICE. Now it's about NHS England saying, here's an area we're interested in. We can see some value in this area. NICE, please do an evaluation for us. So you get chosen rather than put yourself forward. So, you know, that choice may not necessarily be with you any longer. So in terms of where do we want to go in the future? So I try not to repeat myself too much. Number one, have a clear link between health technology assessment and reimbursement and funding. Have a rules-based system that really takes you along that pathway to you know, through the commission regime and into funding. That is number one. We do need more adaptation to digital health technologies. And I'm sure we'll sort of go into a bit more depth on either that, on that, which is starting to happen there. That's still really an early phase. It's only been going for sort of the last 12 months or so, and it's sort of working on interim methods already. So I think we'll see perhaps greater standardization within that, because there's a fair bit of variability in that.
Yeah.
That said, we're going to have to cope with an amount of variability as well. And we also need to ensure we have really rapid pathways, because that iteration is only going to speed up, you know, be that AI technologies, digital health, but also traditional health tech as well.
Mm. Yeah, it's good to hear that there are some aspects of the early value assessment process that have been well received. And I think that element of rapid processing is clearly key. One of the challenges that you mentioned a moment ago for health tech companies in general, I guess, is the generation of evidence that's required to support HTA processes. How does that challenge play out for companies right now, and how do you think the challenge of evidence generation will evolve over the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, it can be a challenge generating evidence. Again, the health tech sector is about 90% SME. So, yeah, they have limited resources. They're not of the scale on the pharma side. So limited resource, less feet on the ground, et cetera. So getting that foothold within the system to generate the evidence can be difficult. And it can be time consuming. And you know, if you're a spin out or a startup, you know, you've got a limited sort of a cash runway. So you know, if you can't make things happen in a couple of years, probably max, you might be struggling. That said, there is a lot of resource out there that can support this. And there's obviously NICE itself with its scientific advice service. There is trying to think of the right exactly what they call the UKRI digital health hubs. There's five of those around the country as well to help, and they can support with evidence generation, and also various alongside those, there's also the MIX, the NIHR MIX collaboratives. And also various funding programs, SBRI and I4I. So that there is a fair bit of support out there, but I don't know, I guess in the space of, what was that, 3 minutes, I've thrown out I don't know how many acronyms. So you do need to be able to navigate around that system and know what, where to go at what stage of development based on, are you looking at the fundamental, training of an algorithm? What data do you need for that? Or are you looking at validation and verification or evidence for HTA and who can support you at different stages? So you need to be very aware of what's going on in the landscape.
Yeah, clearly a challenge at the moment. Going forward, looking into the future, are there any technologies or innovations that are on the horizon in health tech generally that you think will present a particular challenge for HTA going forward, a challenge to the current methods and processes that are in place? You've already mentioned AI, but...
Yeah, I mean that's the obvious one. It is a future challenge, I think. It's not a challenge here now as such, because I've already had some AI systems go through the early value access early value assessment program. But what we're seeing, they're basically fixed in their performance. They're not learning as they go, and when we get into into the sort of foundational models and that sort of thing, when we want to apply those to health, where we want machine learning systems put into clinical use, then we have a completely different challenge to anything we've had before. I think that is really going to demand a much greater collaborative working between regulators, developers, NICE, and the system to see how we really can manage the ongoing performance, so flat out safety and performance, and then the value that comes through an HTA assessment. It can no longer be, here's my product, you assess it, you decide. It's got to be an ongoing process.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that that point about collaboration and a joined up process is something that we'll definitely come back to in the Q&A for sure. But for now, I'll just say thank you, Andrew. We'll move on to our next speaker and then we'll rejoin you in the Q&A. And a reminder to everyone who is watching live to please get your questions in to GoToWebinar so that I can present them to our speakers in the Q&A session.